is what brings us together today.
Marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, did you know that settling and getting more convinced of who you are in God's eyes, how He sees you and loves you, could be one of the best things you ever do for your spouse? One of the biggest factors in your marriage as to whether or not you can truly love. By nature, human beings actually cannot truly love until they know they are loved by someone greater. We're going to talk about it. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Pastor Brad Digney. And we keep going to God's Word to find out things that the world is never going to tell us, that the culture's not going to tell us, that experts aren't going to tell us, that movies and romance and songs are not going to tell us. But God's Word has such insights. And so we've been digging into this idea that fear is actually one of the biggest killers for marriage, that's keeping us from love. And it takes place on multiple levels. Because of fear, we have guilt and we have shame. It's not just what we've done, it's who we are, who we see ourselves. And so that's what I want to talk about some more today. That as you become convinced, you can say, I'm a Christian. Oh, I grew up in church. I'm a Christian. I've put my trust in Christ. But if you do not live daily with a vibrant, real awareness of I am His dear child. I'm His adopted daughter, His adopted son. He loves me. He really does. I can call Him Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father. He delights in me. He wants to know me. He loves me. And His love does not come and go and ebb and flow like human love. Wow. When you get a hold of that, it frees you to really begin to love others, starting with your spouse, because real love, biblical love, is giving to the needs of another. So you got to be willing to risk. You got to be willing to open up. You have to be willing to be known and to allow someone in to see you and to know you. And so it's the love of God in our hearts that we're convinced of that is a game changer. That's a game changer. Beyond any human love, this divine love will change you and give you the ability to truly receive and give love. The love of God turns us away from the need to secure love through performance and frees us to pursue the good of someone else, starting with your spouse. The love of God frees you up to risk loving others deeply because you're no longer in doubt as to whether or not you yourself are loved. Oh, if you're a Christian, you are a dearly beloved child of God. That's what we saw in the last episode in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. You are a dear child. Christ loves you and gave Himself for you. So settle it today. God doesn't just love you. He delights in you, cherishes you, so that you can boldly and freely be His channel of love to others in this broken world, starting with those closest to you in the home, your spouse. In fact, the very basis and foundation of the Christian life is that you see yourself in Christ now. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. That's my identity. By trusting in Christ, your primary identity changes and you're now a child of God, fully known and fully loved. Wow. You won't find that in any other earthly love. Fully known. No one can fully know you. And fully loved, as much as someone else might try. They're not going to do it. This is the love that you find in God, fully known and fully loved. In his book, The Meaning of Marriage, Tim Keller, and by the way, this is one of my favorite marriage books, Tim Keller, and he wrote it with his wife, Kathy. It's a great book. Tim and Kathy Keller, The Meaning of Marriage. He discusses the ingredients for a healthy marriage, and he offers a picture that is supremely true of God's love for his children. Listen to what he says, quote, "When over the years someone has seen you at your worst and knows you with all your strengths and flaws, yet commits him or herself to you wholly, it is a consummate experience. To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us." He's talking about the kind of love that you can only find in God. And then when each of you are settled in that, you can begin to practice loving each other in the same way. Vicky and I are beginning to taste a measure of it. We're not perfect by any means. We still get turned sideways. We still hurt each other. We still have to ask for forgiveness. We still have to be humble and honest. But we are seeing God do in us and through us towards each other something that was not happening in the initial phase of our marriage, because I believe we were both guilty of fear being a major factor. The fear factor was killing love. And so in the last episode, I said, what is the answer? How do we push past this fear? How do we move past fear and towards real love? I said, well, real love starts by knowing who you are in Christ. So I've pressed that a little bit. I hope some of you will take me up on that and decide I need to strengthen my understanding of who I am in Christ, my identity, so that I could push aside some of this shame and fear of being known. But here's the second thing. Real love is kept alive by knowing where you're headed. So identity, who I am, and I'm loved, is huge. That frees me up to love somebody else. But knowing where I'm headed keeps love alive, because I don't need as much from right here, right now. Oh, so many times the Bible does not tell you, if you read the New Testament, and I hope you do, the Bible does not tell you, oh, what you're going through is not hard. Never says that. In fact, it does not try to airbrush how hard things are. It's very, very real about how hard things are in this life. Here's what it does do. It reframes now in light of eternity. One of the best things that we need is not, of course, we'd like someone who could just fix our circumstances, but God never promised to do that. He reframes our circumstances, where we are and what we're going through, against eternity, to remind us this is temporary. This is not forever. This is not your final stop. I love to say to our church family, this is Motel 6. You're not home yet. This is Motel 6. We'll keep the light on, but that's about as good as it gets. Oh, when you understand from the scriptures, you're not home yet. Then it changes how you respond to what's happening, and it frees you. It frees you to love and to give, because I don't have to just hunker down and try to grab all the gusto I can right now and get what I need and get what I want and live it all now and experience everything now, because now is not my only reference point. I've got God's word that reminds me you're headed somewhere else. Oh, I think Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 14 show us what it looks like when you start living with what I call a save the date mentality. As a pastor, you can imagine I get tons of cards in the mail telling me about somebody's wedding. Save the date, save the date, save the date. Listen to me. If you're a Christian, man or woman, you should have a save the date mentality about how you're living right now, that you have something better coming. There's something being planned for you right now. And Romans 13 is one of those passages with a save the date mentality that could change how you start waking up, regardless of your circumstances and regardless of your spouse and regardless of what is or is not happening around you or for you, you start living with a sense of anticipation for your wedding day and your bridegroom, Jesus. Listen to what Romans 13 says. Owe no one anything except to love each other. I'm starting in verse 8. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Oh, salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. The hour has come for you to wake up. Oh, listen, when you wake up and you start living with a save the date mentality, it also changes your ability to love others and to give rather than just grabbing and taking and looking out for yourself. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to unpack this Romans 13 passage some more to find out how save the date could perhaps save your marriage and enable you to love better.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney in just a moment. You know what kind of grabbed me and slapped me upside the head with what he's talking about today? It's the idea of having a save the date mentality. Never thought about it that way, but it's brilliant. Speaking of saving dates, let me tell you about something we've saved for you. See how I did that segue? Talking about Transformed with Dr. Greg Giffords. Man, it's like reality TV. When you watch the TV series, and season 4 is coming real soon, be on the lookout for those notifications real soon. But Transformed, the TV show, it's kind of like reality TV, but the good kind. You'll actually see real people finding freedom from struggles, the exact struggles that Pastor Brad is talking about today. Transformed with Dr. Greg Giffords. You can pick up all of the previous series and watch for the new one right now at FortisInstitute.org. And speaking of transformation, something pretty remarkable is happening. I don't know if you've noticed, we transformed into Fortis Institute. Why did we do that? Well, we're living in a culture where Christianity has shifted. If you haven't noticed over the years, it's shifted from being viewed as something positive to kind of neutral for a while, and now it's pretty negative. So many ministries out there started being blown by the cultural winds, and we decided we're not going to be one of them. We're not retreating. Instead, we brought together 8 new theologically sound voices, voices that are not afraid to address all of these cultural challenges head on. They don't compromise biblical truth. And what's amazing is not only have we expanded all of our teaching around here, but we're creating daily content that meets you right where you are. And saying all that, let me also say this. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner with us, you're not just supporting another ministry. You're not just helping us keep our lights on around here. We appreciate that. We appreciate not having to work in the dark. But what you're doing is you're joining a movement that's responding to our cultural moment with clarity and strength. And look, we can't do this alone. It's a big undertaking that we've undertook, if that makes grammatical sense. I think it does. Anyway, every resource that we're able to create, every marriage that we help restore, it happens because of people just like you. So would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. We've got answers to any questions you could possibly have about what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can find those answers at FortisInstitute.org. Now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, when we took a break, I was talking about save the date and how it might change the way you relate to others around you and how much you need and just your mindset of trying to, I got to make sure I'm getting everything right now. When you know not only who you are, and we've dug into that already, but you know where you're headed next, that this is not my home. then it frees you to give in ways that you were not able to give. Because, oh, what he does in this Romans 13 passage that I read to you is he punches a great big hole right in the middle of our temporal, time-bound thinking that what we see now and have now and are doing right now is all that matters. It's all we have. It's all that matters. It's all we have. It's one of the biggest strategies of our enemy, Satan, to shrink your world down to no bigger than right here, right now. And so I keep pushing it, but I hope you'll take me up on it. You got to read the Bible. The only way I keep a mindset of what's coming next, the only way I can keep a save the date mindset, the only way I can see what I'm going through now against the backdrop of bigger and better is by reading the Bible. Fox News doesn't do that for me. My favorite Netflix TV series doesn't do that for me. I'm all into college football right now, and I've got some games picked out for this weekend, but that doesn't do it for me. I enjoy all those things, and it's not wrong. But you guys, the thing that reframes my now, the thing that reframes my relationships, the thing that reorients me and reframes how much I need from those around me is reading God's word that regularly pushes me to look up and realize, wait a minute, this is not it. In fact, this is a vapor. That's what the Bible says. Right now is a vapor. It's not going to last. And even I think it would be helpful if as you read your New Testament, start noticing this. It would be helpful to us in orienting how we should think about what we're going through now by the words that the biblical writers use in reference to us. Have you ever noticed the letters of the New Testament? Read them. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, Romans, Corinthians, you name it. Watch in the introductory remarks how we're referred to. Pilgrims, strangers, exiles, foreigners. Now that should inform how we think about where we are now. Notice, you're a stranger. You don't really belong here. You're a foreigner. You're an exile. An exile, that word literally means someone living outside of their home country. You realize if you're a Christian, you are living outside of your home country. You are not home yet. You say, what does that matter with my marriage? Oh, listen to me. If you understand better who you are in Christ and that you are a dear child and you're loved, you'll be able to love more your spouse, and you won't be as shaken if you don't get back all that you'd hoped for. And if you know where you're headed and you have a save the date mentality as to your bridegroom and a wedding that's coming that's far greater than the wedding that you already experienced on whatever day you chose to say I do, it changes your ability to love others now and to respond well now. This passage and many others you find in the Bible punches a great big hole right in the middle of right here, right now. And secondly, he points us back to the person of Jesus Christ as the very centerpiece for how and why we should love others. If you remember, if you've been with us on the show for a while now, back in Ephesians, I told you everything about husband and wife, loving each other, respecting each other, submitting to each other, following. All is hinged on Jesus Christ, just as to the Lord, as Christ, just as Christ. Jesus is the centerpiece of how we're called to love each other. And Jesus is the centerpiece of this Romans 13 passage that calls us to live with a save the date mentality. See, at the very heart of Christianity, you realize the very heart of Christianity is not a system. Christianity is not a system. The very heart of Christianity is about a savior. Oh, so many other world religions are about a system. Here's your list. Here's what you've got to do. Here's all the boxes to check. And I know there are those that have turned Christianity into that very thing, but they did not get it from the Bible. When you read your Bible, Christianity is all about a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. He gives us a savior, not a system. a system would not have been enough to fix all that we're facing, to fix our sin problem. We needed a savior. And so it's not all about rules and regulation. It's about a relationship. And so to whatever degree you strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ, you will strengthen your ability to love your spouse, to accept them for who they are, to risk being known, and to give rather than just take. And so in Romans 13, in verses 11 to 14 in particular, Paul gives us this dramatic wake-up call from the constant press and distraction of the right here, right now. And he says, hey, time is running out, and that day that's coming is coming sooner than you think. It's closer now than ever before. I'm not some alarmist, you guys, but I believe we're living in the last days. We are in the end times. If you were thinking, ha, as soon as I think we're in the end times, I'm going to get serious about Jesus and serious about loving the people around me. Well, my friend, that would be now. I think we are in the last days. We are in the end times. And so this passage is a wake-up call from the constant press of right here. And he says, time's running out. That day is coming sooner than you think and is drawing near, that all of this is going to end and we will be ushered into, if you're a Christian, that new heaven and new earth and your bridegroom Jesus and that marriage supper of the Lamb. And so here's what I want you to keep in mind. Paul's walking us through how to love others and to get it done in a most dramatic way. It's like he snaps open some smelling salts to jar you and to stir you. And he says, sit up, wake up, grab hold of a motivation for loving that is so much bigger and better than just trying harder. Have you found out just trying harder doesn't work very well? I'm going to try harder. Listen to me. Just trying harder doesn't work without Jesus. I'm going to settle into who I am in Christ more. I'm going to begin to be convinced that I'm a dear child of God. And I'm going to punch a hole in this shrink-wrapped right here, right now, and take a great big gulp of what's coming next. And oh, but there's more. There's more. And oh my goodness, that will change your ability to love others. Christianity was never meant to just be a list of rules pressing on the outside of you. If you lose sight of what's at the very heart of the gospel and Christianity, a living, loving, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it all just falls apart. It was never meant to work without Jesus at the center of it. And I want you to think about that phrase again in Romans 13, 12. The day is at hand. What is Paul talking about? Well, he's talking about the second coming of Christ and your wedding. You realize if you're a Christian, you're engaged to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that he's already given to you is your engagement ring, the pledge, the seal that you've been spoken for. You've been claimed. Someone loves you and is coming back for you. Oh, listen, the New Testament mentions the second coming of Christ 318 times. So that in a very real sense, the New Testament is nothing more than one big save the date card that should be mounted on the refrigerator of your life, reminding you on your worst day when you feel unloved and you don't think you're getting from others around you what you wish you were getting. You have been spoken for. You have been chosen. You are loved. You've been adopted. And you have a bridegroom that's preparing a place for you, and he's coming back to get you. That's you. Save the date. And it needs to be something we think about. We need to think about our identity. Who we are will enable us to love. And we need to think about where we're headed. And listen to me. Fox News will not help you with that. I'm not saying be ignorant of what's going on, but we've got people today, even Christians, that are immersed up to their eyeballs in the latest blog and news feed and podcast that keeps them up to date with how bad things are and what's going on right now, right now, right now. You guys, I want to be aware. I don't want to be ignorant. I want to know what's going on, but I don't want to obsess over what's going on. You're going to have to hit pause on some of that and pick up God's word to discover for real for yourself who you are, your identity, and where you're headed. And it will change your ability to love others, starting with your spouse.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.